you could have a bunch that have the same features. The pricings are all relatively close, at least within your budget. But if you just don't like using the thing and it's going to cause you stress, ooh, it's worth a couple extra bucks a month, in my opinion.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 32 of the Small Business BS podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. And in today's episode, we're going to be continuing on our email marketing series. And in this episode, we're going to talk about email marketing platforms or email marketing providers. So, Jeff, email marketing has been a conversation the last couple of episodes, and we're going to continue on by talking about an email marketing platform. Can you just give us a brief overview of what an email marketing platform is and why it's important to a business and what we should set this up before we dive into what we should be looking for, where we want to take this episode?
Yeah. So I think the key here is like the people use different words for what this is. We kind of talked about this briefly before we hit, actually it might've been after we hit record. I don't know. But before we're going to have edited too, which is some people call it an email marketing platform. Some people call it like your email marketing provider, your email marketing service provider, your email marketing software. It's going to be called a lot of things. And if you Google any of those, you're going to get a lot of that stuff. So essentially this is just the, I'm going to use platform, but I might use software because people, even though it's not really, because it's a different type of software, it's a web-based, but like it's the tool you use to create and send your emails, your email newsletters, your automated emails from your downloads and your, you know, your funnels and sequences and things of that nature. So we're talking about that. So right, the last two episodes, we talked about mistakes to avoid. Today, we're going to talk about what to look for and when you're looking for this, your email marketing provider. Now, you may be listening. You may already be doing email marketing. You may not necessarily need this part. However, some of what we talk about might spark you to maybe look into your provider and see if it is still the right fit. If you're earlier in your journey and you're thinking about either maybe switching or you haven't even, like you're just now getting into email marketing because maybe we convinced you recently to do it. And you want to get in, this is a good episode for you to be like, okay, what should I be on the lookout for? What should I be looking for when I'm doing this thing? Because it is typically an expense for a business. And it can be a committed relationship, Adam. It can be, because you're getting into it and you put a lot of work in it. You want to make sure it's the right one and that it's going to work for you. So hopefully that explains what we're doing here.
Yeah, it does. I appreciate that setup. That's perfect for where we're going. So when we talk about email marketing platforms, Jeff, what are the things that we think we need to pay attention to? You said you've got a list of some things and maybe we can start going down those. What should we be looking for? And so I love how you related this to somebody who may already have an email marketing platform. I think this is a question to ask, does my email marketing platform provide this? Because there's probably chances that we haven't looked into certain aspects of email marketing platforms. But I don't know, Jeff, maybe we can start this episode over. I'm not feeling it.
We're good. You're good. You're good. I'm keeping that in too. I want the realness through here. We're okay. We're okay with this because
I got ahead of myself. So we need to back up. We need to talk about the platforms that we're doing.
Okay. We can go that. Yeah. Let's go. I was good. I was going to blend it in, but yeah, let's go there. I think that's the right way to go. Let's talk about that. I'd love to hear Adam, like, cause I don't know that I know what you use for email marketing. I should, but like, yeah, when we start there, I'd love to, let's start with like why we chose, which I think is going to pull on some of the reasons I'm sure that I have.
Yeah.
And some of the things to look for. And then I'll just lay out a list. I've got just 14. And honestly, there's a lot, decent bit of crossover of just things to be thinking about and looking to see like, does your email, or just at least think about, right? And to think, does it offer this? Does it not? And what is it like and stuff? But like, let's go there. I'm going to flip the question to you of, because I'm trying to remember what email, what you use for it. I swear I know. What do you use? What platform are you on?
I use MailChimp. So
Okay, you're on MailChimp. Yeah, like one of the OGs.
Yeah, so that's a perfect question because I was getting ahead of myself. And I think it's important to explain this because, yeah, I was on MailChimp years ago because they were the one platform that offered a free trial for up to 500 subscribers. And so I got hooked and I figured I could change it later. And it would take a long time before I got to 500 subscribers. Now my business, my other business that uses MailChimp is not that I have a really tight list. It's not a huge list, but of the people who are on my list, they're very qualified leads. And so last I looked, I think we're around the 10,000 mark, on MailChimp. And so I've used it from the beginning. I've used it actually for a blog I had previously, but the reason I signed up for MailChimp was because it was free for up to 500 people. And then what I found very quickly was it got expensive. It got pretty expensive and it wasn't doing some of the things I wanted it to do without upgrading to a very, very, very expensive plan. And so I had plans earlier in a year or two ago to switch from MailChimp over to Kit. That was my goal. And then MailChimp got bought by Intuit and some of the pricing got updated and I was able to get what I was missing at a much better price point than what they had previously. And so I decided to stay with it because it's what we know, it's what's working. And I don't think there's much cost benefit at this point for us to change. But there are some things I wish I would have thought about in the beginning because the reason I went with MailChimp was because it was free. And I don't know that was the best reason, though I know a lot of the other platforms now offer the same thing where they'll let you start for free. But that's what I use. And so I've always used that. I've been at companies that have used Constant Contact and obviously ConvertKit is another one that's now Kit that I'm familiar with. But I'm curious to you, Jeff, what platform do you use? I forget what you said. Well,
first off, your story is really interesting. And I love that you shared exactly what you did because for the longest time, like that, MailChimp is what I would share with most people who were getting started. I'd be like, well, try MailChimp. It's got a good free plan. What I realized later on is exactly what you did is what I then started with a caveat of like, however, this platform at the time was ActiveCampaign, which is one of the ones we use, but they're insanely expensive now, but they used to be pretty well done and they didn't have a free plan, but when you had to upgrade, what you had to pay for MailChimp to get what you would get with the first level of ActiveCampaign was three times as much, right? And so it's this weird balancing of like, just pay now and you don't have to worry about the conversion over to it and the fact that you're still going to have to pay a lot more, or just be ready that, hey, when you hit that mark or have those needs, you're going to have to make that change and it's a pain, whatever. Now, to your point, a lot, not most, but a lot of providers offer a free forever plan, typically with some sort of cap on subscribers. Or some sort of free plan, or some really low pricing. You mentioned ConvertKit. So we use two. We have two different providers that we use. We use ActiveCampaign for our primary Teach Better newsletter and email. And we've been with them. We were actually like part of like a beta test. So we've been with them for a long time. Prior to that, I've used Constant Contact. That's like one of the true OGs. They've been around forever. I've used AWeber, I've used MailChimp, and probably three or four others that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. But we use ActiveCampaign. We're still with them. However, I'm sorry, ActiveCampaign, but the end of this year, we will be changing. By the end of this year, when our renewal comes up, we will be switching to Kit because it's literally going to save us just shy of $4,000. We have a pretty good list, and so it's a pretty expensive plan that we're on, but Kit is so much more better price. We do use Kit already. We use it for our EduCreator Club newsletter. It's a small piece. And when we started that one, it was kind of a plan with. We weren't sure whether that was going to be a thing or not. And I wanted to try it at the time ConvertKit because I knew a lot of people who were on it. A lot of people spoke highly of it. And they were just launching their referral program. And so I went with it. Here's the crazy thing. So our EduCreator Club newsletter we don't promote it very much because it's like a very small and very different segment of our audience. So like we're very careful around our messaging because we don't want to confuse people. I don't know the exact number, but it's more than 50%. I think it might be more than 60% of the subscribers on that list have come from referrals through that network. So like Kit is great for the growth of your newsletter. They've also updated the price and it's insanely, like you can do 10,000 subscribers for free. You're limited on other features, which is one of the things we'll get into here, but I think is Kit. So we use both ActiveCampaign and then also Kit. And there's things that I love and hate about both of them. And I can go forever about those things, but we'll talk about some of the things that we want to look in here and I'll probably come through. So, but I'm really glad that you brought up where you're at, because in the fact that you held off just long enough for them to adjust the pricing, because that's one thing, is like things are adjusting all the time. So, but I think what we talked about before, Adam, is because there are so many of these providers and I feel like five new ones pop up every year and then three disappear or whatever, that I think for us to go through, the initial idea of this episode was, if you remember, I was like, hey, like we should list a whole bunch of things. And I'm like, that actually doesn't make sense. Do a Google search. Instead, let's talk about why did we choose and or stick with or are changing where we're at, and what are some of the things that people should be looking at. So do you want to move there? Do you want me to just rattle off my list and then we'll dive in? Or do you want me to like go one at a time and we'll kind of go back and forth? Because I'm pretty sure when I say things, they're going to spark three ideas in you every time. So like,
yeah. Well, okay. Well, I've got one I want to share first, and then I want to see what's on your list. So maybe it's, we do 15 and we start with mine. I know it probably is. Well, the first one that I really looked at this in the beginning, and when I was looking to possibly switch, is I wanted to make sure that the provider was established in a large company, well recognized in the industry. I didn't want somebody who's a startup, just because I wanted to make sure that I didn't have to change down the road. I didn't want to experience their growing pains. I wanted to have it be established. And I also read early on and understand that some email providers get caught in spam boxes more than others. And so I wanted to have one that's been there for a while, that's established and knew what they're doing, so to speak, so that it was straightforward and easier for me. I don't want to have to change it. I don't want to have to worry about it. And that was one of my criteria initially and still today. So to me, that's one of the most important first things that I was looking at was, is this an established provider that knows what they're doing that will make it easy on me going forward? I'm not going to have to go through growing pains with them. So that's number one. Was that on your list?
It wasn't, but that's a great one. And one that I absolutely, which should have been on my list, because it's something that I'm 100% behind, and I did as well, because there are some advantages to get with a startup because you get to be a part of the journey and stuff and whatever, but being with something that's established that you know is less likely to be gone in a year or two or three, and to your point, is more likely to have their things together, to have yourself, we talked in the last episode, one of the things we talked about was like following the regulations and the laws, like, that's things that those people, they're building their business too. So they've learned that or haven't learned that. And if they're larger, they've got lawyers, they got people that pay attention, where a startup might not. Startup might have like a really good look and a good feel and be listening to you, which is awesome. But there's a give and take to that. So I think that's a great one. So yes, 100% behind you on that one. That one's perfect. So, okay. So that one's a great one. That one's really good, which is why a lot of times I recommend MailChimp, right? I don't anymore. I will mention them, but like I'll recommend something like I'll usually do Kit now, but who's also growing and becoming more of a stable. They've been around for a while. They've got a good hold. I'm not super worried about them. So one of the things that I think, and we kind of touched on this, was as you start this journey of looking and going to figure it out, I think one of the most important things you can go do is play around with these things. Go test them out. And get a feel for what they're like. And so one of the things that I think when you start doing your search and you start Googling is, look, does the platform offer either a free tier or at least a free trial? So you can go in there and get a feel for it. So I think that's a big piece to look for. To your point, the MailChimp being free, that was one of the reasons I used to recommend as well. When you're just getting started, and if you're not making money in your business yet, or you're not sure that email marketing is going to generate revenue, so you don't really want to allocate a lot of money to it, or maybe you have a small or maybe even non-existent really like marketing budget, finding a platform that has a free plan is really important. But the free trial also at least allows you to explore the platform. So look, that's one of the first things I would look for, is do they have a free trial and do they have a free plan? Does that make sense? Do you want me to just keep rattling through, or do you want to stop on each one of my thoughts?
Well, so from there, I think I can add to that. The free plan's important, but also I guess, you know, looking ahead too, the goal is to grow an email list. So what are the tiers after the free plan? So I try to look at it holistically of, you know, a free plan is great to see if the business is going to get traction, but if it does, we don't want to have to change email providers when we get to that first tier or third tier. One of the things that has been frustrating for me with MailChimp is I think once I get over this 10,000 tier that I'm at, the price almost doubles. But at the end of the day, it's still, I feel like, a decent price compared to others. But looking ahead too, and trying to understand where the pricing tiers go, I think is a good part of that. But yes, having that free piece is a great thing to look for.
You essentially just covered the next three on my list, which are all kind of combined, which is pricing in general, like the pricing model, right? Do their tiers jump based on features, based on number of subscribers, number of email sends? Or most likely it's a combination of those things or and stuff like that. So looking at the limitation, the actual pricing, and to Adam's point, looking to the future, going, hey, I might only have 100 people on my list right now, but what happens if I hit my goal of 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever? What does that pricing look like for me? What am I looking at in the future? What am I buying into now? And the limitations of, okay, like, yeah, it might be free, but I can only send one email a month, or I can only have this, or I only have one list or one automation, so I can't actually have more than one lead magnet or three, you know, sequences for welcome and stuff like that. And what are those jumps? And that's what I kind of referenced earlier, is like back when we first, like when ActiveCampaign was first out, the jump from MailChimp's free to their first paid was, or actually to get to ActiveCampaign's first tier was massive, right? And to your point, like, it's a big jump in some of them, and some of them aren't. So being aware of that, and I think you said at the broader picture of like, okay, this is good now, free's good now, but what does it look like in a year if I hit my goals, right? And sometimes that still means the free is okay, and just like, okay, I know what I'm expecting, and my plan is when I get here, I'll look again and maybe I'll change provider. That's okay, because you at least have a plan. There's some strategy there. So 100% agree with that. I think a lot of what I have, as I'm looking at this list, a lot of things I'm looking at is like, what are some of the features that they should have? And so I kind of want to go back and forth maybe on that. So I have things like, does it allow for like automation? And this can be, does it in general, but also how does it price that, right? Does your tier, the free tier or the low tier or whatever, like what does it require for not just automation, but how many? Like either in as I'm saying automation, I'm going, okay, that's an ActiveCampaign term sometimes. Automation isn't, but ActiveCampaign calls them automations, which is essentially a funnel, right? Some people call them sequences, journeys. Kit uses both automation, but it's a sequence when it's a series of emails. I think MailChimp uses journeys, doesn't it?
They've changed it. Yeah.
A whole bunch of times, probably.
Yeah, and I don't even remember what it is, honestly.
Essentially, does it allow you to have emails sent automatically? Why would you want that? Well, someone downloads a checklist from you, you want that to automatically send, so you don't have to send an email every single time or whatever that might be. Or if they take actions, you want automated. If they download, you want an automated welcome sequence that welcomes them to your list, and you want it to be 3, 4, 5, 10 emails. That type of thing. Like, does it allow you to set those things up, or are there limitations on there? What are those limitations? And harken back to the early part, at what price point does that change, or what does it do to your pricing? Things like, does it use list versus tags? I can go into a whole thing about that. Or does it offer both? How does it allow you to segment your audience and use that and send in? And are there limitations on that? Does it allow for integrations into other pieces of software that you use, whether it be if you use like a landing page site, like a lead pages or something, or if you do things through Google Forms, or do you know, does it allow you to use something like a Zapier to connect to things, et cetera, et cetera? Does it allow for A/B testing? And if so, what kind? Is it just subject line, or is it both subject line and or the body of the email? One thing that's weird about ActiveCampaign is like it doesn't have natural A/B testing for subject lines. Kit, every single email that goes out in Kit, you put two subject lines in it and it runs. You don't have to, you can choose not to, but it runs the test and then doesn't. You can set a whole bunch of stuff around the test as well, how long you want to test, et cetera. And then I think a big one is, and then I'll stop and let you speak for a few minutes here, is analytics. Not only does it offer analytics, most of them are going to offer some form of analytics. What do they mean when they say analytics, and how is it presented? One of the things that I dislike most about Kit is their analytics. They're getting better. They've made some improvement, but it's not really easy to go get a full picture of things. It's annoying to me. Versus like ActiveCampaign, I can get pretty deep into things. So, but the analytics of like, okay, what analytics does it track, but also how does it display this to me? What kind of reporting can I do, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to stop for a second. I feel like I talked a lot.
No, that's good. Those So that's a really good dump of things to consider and things to look at. And that can be a bit overwhelming for somebody who either A, hasn't used an email platform before, or B, is using one and is trying to consider, do I need to stay with who I'm using, or should I go somewhere else? And so those are all things that are, I think, features related. But I'd like to try to think outside the box here for a second too, and think about what are some other pieces beyond features that are important to me when I'm thinking about campaigns. And so for one of those, I think for the email marketing platform is having support. And how do I learn the system and how do I understand it? And I found early on, one of the biggest challenges I had was really trying to understand, you know, how to use it. But I also still don't have a full understanding of those pieces I'm not using. I just use a tiny little bit of MailChimp and I'm not using everything that's available to me for a couple reasons. Number one is when I started, I didn't need to use it a lot. And I've now passed it on to somebody else, but they're only doing what I taught them. And so we probably need to go back and figure out how to learn the full platform and figure out what areas we're not using. So understanding that support and that comes from the from the platform itself. And so, you know, support is a big thing. Some of these companies have a great knowledge base where they have a university or they're a school where you can learn the platform and understand it, but some of them don't. And I know that we've got a mutual friend who has created a business around support. And I think it's for Active Campaign, isn't it?
It is. Slick Business, KPC. We can shout her out. She's awesome. Yes. Active Campaign is her.
So what's her website and what does she do? What's her website and what does she do?
I think it's Slick Business. But I kind of remember if that's actually the thing I'm looking for real quick. So it's Slick Business. So SLICK, slickbusiness.co. She's not only she's brilliant when it comes to Active Campaign. She actually does work directly with Active Campaign. She sits on a board with them and stuff, but she's also just brilliant when it comes to email marketing. But yes, big shout out to Kay. She's awesome. So I'm glad you brought that. That was a great transition. What I wanted to add to your thought there is like the support from the company itself, but also is there a community of support? And I don't mean necessarily a organized community that by them, but are there people out there? Are like, can you find tutorials and tips and tricks on YouTube? Are there people like a K that's out there with literally a business that's meant to support users, et cetera, right? So like you think about a MailChimp, if you were to Google MailChimp or how to MailChimp, you're going to find a billion videos, right? A newer platform, you might not have that. And if a new platform also doesn't have the support or knowledge base, as you mentioned, yeah, some of that, like, well, how do I do this thing? Or what is that? I don't even know what that thing is that they have a checkbox next to on the pricing page. That's a really great point, Adam, of like, where, like, how do I have the resources? Are the resources there for me to actually be able to use this thing, right? So, yeah, that's a crucial point. I have a couple more that kind of go in that same direction, I think. And that's where the sort of options of like the other thing, when you think about the other things to look for that are features, but more specific, in my opinion, of the features that they may or may not have, is what kind of templates and or like are available, but also like what's the designer like? What's the builder, the customization of the email and my designer like? Like what are the options and what are the restrictions on it? One of the things I don't like about Kit is I can't customize my emails as much and or more importantly as easily in Kit as I can in ActiveCampaign. For example, add in a picture into your email. ActiveCampaign, you upload it and then I can literally drag and drop it to make it the size that I want. In Kit, you can't do that. You have to, like, it's a whole, I don't even know how to actually, right now, I literally cannot tell you how to actually adjust the size of a picture because I'm not sure if you can or if you have to have it set in. There's a way to do it, I'm sure, but like, it's just not easy, which is mind boggling to me because like the interface of like logging in and stuff just looks nicer than ActiveCampaign, but it's not as easy to do that. When I first got going, like trying to set up my initial template, like to get the top header to look the right way was like just a pain to me. Where ActiveCampaign, super easy. Right. So, and that's where like these free trials and tests and stuff come in, which is actually like my most important thing, in my opinion. So I'll just go there now to look for is like and this is why the free trial can be really important is like the actual user interface and how you interact with it, to me, is one of the most important pieces. If you check off some of the other pieces, I think Adam brought up a really good one at the start, which is like, do they have a bad reputation for deliverability, et cetera? Do they follow the law? That type of stuff. But once you get through and the features are there, like, you could have a bunch that have the same features. The pricings are all relatively close, at least within your budget. But if you just don't like using the thing and it's going to cause you stress, ooh, it's worth a couple extra bucks a month, in my opinion. Do you agree with that statement?
I completely agree. For me, all platforms I look for is I want it to be user-friendly for me, and I want it to work the way that I'm used to working on systems, because I've run across some systems that are just so complex. It feels like I put more work in figuring out the system and making the system work than I do to actually do the task. And so if you're spending more time dealing with your email marketing platform than you are writing emails, that's probably a problem. And so it's those types of things that I'm looking for. It's that ease of use. Like, how easy is it for you to use? And Jeff, what is easy for me may not be easy for you. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I think it's spreadsheets. My wife is a picture person. She tells me she sees the world through pictures, and it's hard for her to explain things in details because she sees everything in pictures in her mind. And for me, I see everything in bullet points, literally a spreadsheet or a bullet point. That's just how I organize thoughts in my mind. And so what's easy for me may not be easy for you or for my wife or somebody else. And so figuring that out, and really, you said in the beginning, the number one way to figure out what email marketing platform is going to work for you is to just get in there and try it, test it out. And I watch YouTube videos on people giving demos, and you can say, okay, this looks really complex or complicated, or this looks easy and I like that. One of the things I've done in my business is one of my mission statements, so to speak, that I talk with my team about is we like to keep things simple. I work in regulatory compliance for banks and credit unions. It is not simple. It's anything but simple. It's complex. And so what we try to do is anything we can control, we try to keep it simple. And what we found with MailChimp is that MailChimp is very simple. The way we use it, it's very easy and very simple, and it just helps to keep our heads above water, at least on that side of things, when our actual business and the things that we do, products we create and things that we have to learn for our clients is very complex. And so simplicity is key for us. So what's the most important for you? Maybe it's visual design. Then you need to find the platform that is visually appealing. My wife would be all about platforms that are visually appealing. I'm about simple and ease of use. And so great points, Jeff. I think that's really key. Another key that was for me early on, it is really still key, and why I stuck with MailChimp is MailChimp integrates with some of the software that I use for my website. I've got a membership software that I integrate into my website. I don't use WordPress like you do and a lot of people do. I use a different website platform provider. I actually use Squarespace, but I don't use their membership piece. I use a separate membership company, and that integrates with MailChimp, and it doesn't integrate with the other email marketing platforms. And so I currently don't use Zapier because I have this clean integration in between Squarespace and my membership provider and my email provider. And so things are working really well. So for me, integration was really important and really, really, really key as well.
I'm glad you brought that up and specifically like mentioned Zapier again and stuff, because I think what a sort of a trap that you can fall into is going, well, it doesn't have a clean integration with this thing that I need, but I can use Zapier. And the catch to note is that Zapier can become really expensive if it's running a lot, right? So that becomes an expense that you may not be thinking about right now because it's a pretty good free plan on Zapier. But once you hit certain number of zaps or runs of zaps, it gets expensive. So if you can find something that you're like, this might be something that grows, right? It's the integration, like obviously your membership site, like that's hopefully that grows. That's part of the core part of that business, right? So you have to expect to go, okay, like if I have to have something that I'm going to pay more over here in order for this integration to work, that's an additional expense, right? That's going to grow with my business versus if MailChimp has that natural integration. One, you're also less likely to have issues. But just from an expense standpoint, I don't think people see that. They go, oh, I can use free Zapier. I can connect it and I'm good. And it's like, well, yeah, but until Now you got more, you're growing your email list, which is causing the Zap to run more. Now you're paying more for your email provider because you've got bigger lists, and you're now also paying more for Zapier. Now, what are we doing, right? So if you can find those things that are key core pieces of your business, if your email, that's a big sort of check in the pros column for any platform, in my opinion. So that's a great mention there for sure. But going back to your point, Adam, I think the biggest thing is go play with it. I love your touch on like the design is different for everyone. And we say this a lot in this podcast. Like obviously everything we say always has that asterisk of like, do this, but however it works for you and your business. And I think this is key because to your point, like someone who's a little more analytical, Constant Contact might be a great interface for them. Someone who's very visual and likes that, like, and doesn't like, they might not like that. It feels a little more, I haven't been in there a long time, but what I remember of Constant Contact, a little more clunky, a little more old school feeling versus a Kit. Kit feels a little more modern, a little more clean, and stuff like that. And you can find variations of that. So, I think that's a key point. So I think one of the overarching themes here is go play with them, try the free trials, send yourself test emails, play around with it, and get a feel for it. And then I think another really big one I want to kind of harken back to that you mentioned, one of the early ones was like, and think about the bigger picture, the long term, when you're looking at like features and the expenses that go along with that, I think is super important.
That's great. That's all great. And hopefully this episode helps for those of you that either, like I said in the beginning, either are looking for an email marketing platform, but maybe you have one and you're trying to decide and determine, do I need to have this same platform going forward or do I need to make a change? So I think we covered it all there, Jeff. And I anything else to add before we wrap?
No, I think we're good. I think we can take it out.
Okay, great. So that's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.